إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى آتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله the continuation of the series of Know Your Enemy, the Shaitan. I talked earlier about who is the Shaitan and what kind of soldiers he has, the two different types, and how he attempts you, the six major ways that he comes to you through him. And unfortunately, we found out that three of them is very, very clear. From the beginning, you know by your faculty that what you are doing is wrong, but that's what you accepted. You said, no, I don't want to bother. And there are other three among of the six approaches is the shaitan makes you feel that you are a pious and you are better than others and you are more learned than others and put you in a position of you start to judge others. You make yourself a judge to other people's behavior and other people being, and you completely forgot that you yourself in a test, and you completely forgot the only one who has the right to judge is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I talked about the symptoms, how he comes to you, and we found that there are so many ways. Part of them is try to do the best, to do isolation between the leadership and between the knowledgeable people in the ummah and between the rest of us. Another, argument, doubt, fear, it is all from shaitan. Suspicious and doubt, it is all it comes from the shaitan. And we found out that the shaitan also, he's not going to get to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identify also to us the seriousness of the act of disobedience. The act of disobedience, you will never get to the point to harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will never even get to the point of benefit Him. You are the one who's going to get the consequence of what you do. But every time you do something wrong or you do forbidden, what in reality you are doing? In reality you are challenging. In reality you are claiming to yourself a deity that you don't have by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this case you are putting yourself in outside the mercy of Allah. And I talked about the dialogue that I took place between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shaitan after he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we found out that in that dialogue that he committed himself to try to tempt and divert the majority of the mankind except one single category. He said from the beginning, I know from the beginning I'm not going to be able to handle this category, and they are the sincere one, which is I hope that we all will be among them. And we found out that even if you don't realize your enemy, he is already in action 24/7. And one of the major symptoms, and I talked about the symptoms, how you know that there is some kind of interaction and control in your life and influence. If your life turns out to be a routine and you are not doing wrong, you are right there in the middle of the area that he wants you to be. Absent-minded, absent-souled, the clock is ticking and you are not developing yourself to qualify to Allah's mercy in the hereafter. Or by another word, you are in a state of suspense, get busy, diverted all your energy in a state of on time, in a state of it go to the right direction to build you for the final meeting, you are already wasting your time in so many other directions. Maybe you are not doing wrong, but definitely you are not doing right. And now I want to get to the point and find out how the shaitan control us. How he really does, he have the command to overpower us, or what is the story here? To start with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed to us in Surah An-Nisa, and he said, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. That means the influence of shaitan is weak. By its own self, is weak. Okay, so you know from the beginning your enemy is weak. By how he is winning, if he is weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you advantage. What is this advantage? He said, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy is wide enough to conclude everyone. But if you by your action get outside of this mercy by the act of disobedience, you are giving the handle to the shaitan. If you are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the act of obedience, you are moving from the area of rahmah, mercy, to the area of al-muqarrabin. And I hope inshallah we all, every and each one of us, will be among those people. We will be among the muqarrabin, the close one to Allah. So you are right in the middle. Either you go one way or another. But here is the trick. You cannot be back and forth. Maybe you can stop and return. That's good. But in any given time, imagine you are on a highway and you are going right and left at the same time. Forward and the back. There is an accident. You're not accomplishing anything. You are gone. And that's exactly what we are doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts you among that enemy in a very good position. And he said, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And I said, in the definition of rahmah, mercy in this case is what? Prevent the harm from before it happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable to prevent any harm to happen before it happened. Why or how? By obeying Him. If you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not going to harm yourself. That's all into it. The shaitan will only go after that the one that I said, the fatal mistake and the big handle that we give to the shaitan is forgetting zikr. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you forget who is the Lord of the universe, who is the Lord, when you forget that you are a creation, not a creator, when you forget what Allah writes and you completely ignore it, and you forget even to seek forgiveness and come back and repent, you give him yourself. You are right there. And listen to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explaining this in Surah Al-Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ليجعل ما يلقي الشيطان فتنة للذين في قلوبهم مرض والقاسية قلوبهم وإن الظالمين لفي شقاق بعيد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Allah will make for those people that they abandon the zikr, they will make whatever the shaitan tells them is very attractive. Very, very attractive. And because it is attractive fitna, and because of they have a sick heart, they will accept it. And because of they have a very hard heart, they will come to be a what? Oppressors. Or will become a zalim. And what is the zalim? The zalim is the one who does something that he has not authorized to do. But if you do something that you are authorized to do, you are not zalim. You are not oppressor. You are not crossing the line. When you put the key on your door for your home and get in, nobody tell you what you're doing. But you try to get to somebody else's home. That's a zulm. That means you are violating somebody else's right. And you have no right to be there. Except without permission. And exactly the same thing here. Also the shaitan will attract the people with two credentials. They have a criteria also. What are these criteria? Either follow al-hawa or follow al-shahawat. For al-hawa means what? Al-hawa, it means whatever convenient. Whatever goes with my interest is good. Whatever goes against my interest is bad. I don't want to hear the word forbidden and non-forbidden. You don't understand. So ittiba'u al-hawa, that means if there is any contradiction between my interest and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I will try to divert, I will deny, I will try to compromise, I will try to delay, I will try to do anything but doing it, because it cost me. And I don't want to do that. So that's ittiba' al-hawa. Or by another word, you are Mr. Number One who understand everything and you cannot be wrong, as long as it is related to your interest. Ash-shahawat, the lust. You are after physical pleasure. Whatever gonna lead to pleasure is right. Whatever takes away the pleasure from me is wrong. That's the bottom line. Don't come and tell me right or wrong. Don't come and tell me forbidden and lawful. Is it or it is not? Is it or is it not? Listen to this category. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya Muhammad, innahum la yukadhibunak. ولكنهم بآيات الله يجحدون. يا محمد, be aware. Be aware, يا محمد. This category, they know exactly what you are doing. They comprehend it like as good as anybody else. But what they are doing is doing juhud, denial. Why the denial? Because either it is against my pleasure or against my whatever I consider my interest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending so many messages warning us in the whole Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, in Surah Sad, everywhere Allah warning us from following your own convenience or following your own lust. Shaitan, from like I said earlier, Shaitan cannot control you till you give him the permission to do it. The Shaitan cannot put a gun in your head, cannot twist your arm, cannot push you to do anything, cannot force you to do anything. But the Shaitan also gonna tempt you to do. And you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the relationship between the human being and the shaitan all over the Quran. Don't follow the footsteps of the shaitan. That means whom is following whom? Ibn Adam following the shaitan. And you like what you're going to find out at the end. I don't know if it's going to be in this khutbah or the khutbah coming inshallah next. The final dialogue. The final touchdown, like what you say. In that showdown that is started by creating Adam and finalized by the end of the trial, the shaitan giving a statement, giving his statement to the mankind. And in that showdown, we will find out that he said, I had no authority over you. I only tempted you to do it. You by your will did. And not only that, but he will blame you. He said, I denounce everything you did. You committed the shirk by Allah. Inshallah, it will be explanation to it when we get to this area. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you follow. He does not follow. Be aware of that. In Surah Maryam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam talking to his father, what he is telling him, Ya abati la ta'bud ash-shaytan, inna ash-shaytana kana lir-rahmani asiya. Oh my father, Please do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. The Shaitan was doing an act of, was disobeying to Allah. Before I leave this ayah, I want to call attention to very important principle in Islam. Promoting good and fighting evil is not the job of the learned, is not the job of the elders, it is not the job of the one who know how. It is the job of every single soul, aware, have a faculty, and mature, and able to do it. Here, who is talking to who? Who is promoting good and fighting evil? The son to the father. Not the father to the son. In Surah Luqman, it was the father to the son. But in this one, it is the son to the father. That means your job, regardless where you see a wrongdoing, you go after it. Regardless who is doing it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mentioned also in the last khutbah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us when, in whispering and tempting how He gonna come around us. I said He, like according to what came in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He was describing, He said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. I will come to them from their right, from their left, from the front, and from the back. And I said, these are four directions. But in reality, we have what? Six. We have six. We don't have four. There are two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, dare not. Dare not to get to those two. Number one, when my servant humiliates himself and makes sujood under nothing between him and me. And in the second, when my servant raises his hand on the top of his head to ask me, none between me and him. None will get. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Surah Al-Fatir, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. No. These two channels, you cannot get in. There is no permission denied. You cannot get to that. So, inshallah, in the way to prevent, obviously, in the way to conquer, in the way to start to say, now I know you are my enemy, and I'm going to come after you. I'm not going to waste no time. You know now what is the direction to go. The first direction you make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to know who is the Lord and who is the owner and who is the one you supposed to submit to yourself or to culture or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second, never stop raising your hand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and guidance and help and support. Once you start that, you are right there, killing him, killing him. Among the sincere one, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The influence of shaitan is extremely weak, but when we welcome, what are you going to say? We need to find out the mechanic, how the shaitan, it works. For any sin to happen, there are three major elements must take place. Three things must happen so the sin can happen. Number one, the whisper of shaitan. And that shaitan can be either from the jinn, Iblis, or can be another human being like you, or can be you. Like what we're going to find out. And how we know what's going on around us. How we know which one. Is it this or this or this? And I said earlier, if it is consistent, if the temptation is consistent, that's not the shaitan. That's you. That you yourself became to be a shaitan. والعياذ بالله. Because the shaitan, once he sees that you are blocking him out, he's not going to waste time. He's going to say, okay, okay, I'm going to go to him from another route, another window, another door. But I'm not going to waste the time in this area. But because it is now attractive to you, it got into you. And you want it, you loved it, you want it to stay. You promote it inside you. Now, you turn it, and he's going to say he's good enough on himself, in his own. The second, whatever temptation that you accept by your soul and by yourself, and it makes sense to you, it is attractive. So you have the temptation, and you have the attraction, and the third one, you will do what? You will order yourself to perform it and to do it. And this is why, in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your part to speak. No one gonna say, I saw him do it. No one gonna come and say, I heard him saying it. But your parts, your hands, your legs gonna speak and say, I did it by his order. There is no more authentication than that. وَكَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. You trial yourself by yourself in that day. And this is, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, he is de-assembling those three elements and give us the tools to really get out of them. In the month of Ramadan, which is inshallah, if Allah give us the life to talk about the value of al-ibadat and the value of fasting, okay, we will see that what happened, what Sayyidina Muhammad said in the month of Ramadan. He said, the shaitan is handcuffed. So the element number one is what? Out of the element. That means I still have two. If you listen and you are fasting, what is your lust? In Nisa'im. And if you can say no to the lawful, you definitely can say no to the forbiddens. Eating, drinking, having the biological relationship with the wife of the husband, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it lawful. There is nothing in it. And if you can have the will, and if you can have the ability to say no for the lawful, you definitely will be able to do what? To say no for the forbiddens. And if you are able to do that, how number three gonna happen? Will not gonna take place. You see Allah's mercy? You see how it works? Allah combating and giving you the weapon for each one of those stages to stop it, so you will not get to what? To number three. And even in number three, he still open what? The gates of forgiveness and repent all the time. Okay. Now, let us assume that you went through it and you did it. Whatever that is. Now, let us see what's going to happen. The first thing that it will happen upon the completion of the mistake that you did, the shaitan will denounce it. He will say, he did it, I didn't. He did that, I didn't do it. But he will not going to leave you alone because just he promoted you and got you to do it. But see the next one, he will encourage you to have a reason for it, to have excuse for it, to have a justification for it. And once you start to justify the mistakes by yourself, 99.99 and round out the rest, you're going to come out with the victim. And you had to do what you had to do. Come on, man, everybody is doing it. You're going to come and pick on me? Allah is forgiving. Look at that. You know what I mean? Shoplifting from stores. Come on, wait a minute here. Mr. Wright, you are coming to tell me that store running. They throw food every day by hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they do that. And they get the item by a dollar and they sell it to us by $60 or $70. Stealing from thieves is not a stealing. It is a justice. How you like the statement? Justification. And we have a lot of synonyms to that. Business is business. I had to do what I had to do. No. Once you say to come to me and say, I had to do what I had to do, that means you said, I denounce there is a Lord in heaven, can control and can protect me if I seek his help. That's exactly what you say when you come to say, I had to do what I had to do. No, you didn't have to do it. Because if you had to do it, you really had to do it, Allah will not count it against you. This is not a true statement. It is a justification. And what happened after we justify the mistake? Actually, I justified the mistake. If I did not admit to start with it is a mistake, do you think I'm going to repent? Do you think I'm going to correct it? How you think stealing from a thief, it can be wrong? How you think all the things that is going up, everybody is biting everybody, everybody is taking advantage of everybody. Come on, man, I gotta live. I gotta make a living here. If you are with that attitude, how are you gonna repent? The 50% of the way to the repentance is admitting the mistake and feeling sorry for it. If you don't admit it and you don't feel sorry for it, what's gonna happen next? Okay, now you did it, and now you are coming up with the excuse. And you are now starting to go to a battle. Battle inside you, between your conscience, between your own conscience, or between what you did, the justification that you have. Your conscience saying, okay, you did what you did, you're still wrong. You're still wrong. And a lot of people are going to come and say, I cannot even live with my conscience. And he comes after committed a crime, comes after even years, and come and say, I just have to get it out of my system. I will say for that person, congratulations. You are still alive. We all do sins. We all do mistakes. We all do slips. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, but help us when? When we repent and stand up again. Regardless when. As long as you are not dying. It is not at the end of the process. And for that person, as long as he already drugged his conscience, gave the justification and whatever the excuses that he had took over, now what's going to stop me from doing it again? Why shouldn't I stop doing it again? It is right. And I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to keep on doing it. And from this point on, I don't need the shaitan to make whispering to me. I am already doing good on my own. I am doing good on my own. Because I already gave the justification and my conscience already accepted. He said it is okay to do that. Maybe I don't like it, but I have to do it. You see how I justified the behavior? And here, for that personality, but at the same time, I know that I cannot come and pray. I know I cannot fast. I know I cannot do this. I can't do that. There is a contradiction here. How am I going to live with that? Part of this personality, which is unfortunately a nafs al-ammara, the commanding soul that promotes you to do a wrongdoing, it cannot deny the existence of Allah and admitting the existence of Allah. But even for this soul, it comes to be even more dangerous than others. Why? Because this one, he can be praying, can be fasting, can be doing everything, as long as it is all of these things, now it turn out to be what? Ceremonial. Rituals is not a tools to develop a personality, but it is a cultures, habits, sometimes titles, prestige, social status, and what's inside? Completely empty. Completely empty. And keep on going in that direction. You see the people keep on saying Quran and keep saying Sunnah and keep saying this and keep saying that. And like what they say, I listen to you one thing and I see what you're doing is completely another. That type of contradiction, and you keep justifying one step in another, how wrong live with right, how wrong live with right. But unfortunately, and I said it before, if right accept to live and compromise with wrong, wrong will never accept to compromise and to live with right. It'll never happen, and it will never happen. It will never happen. So the best thing is what? But I still need the right. But I need the right like Frank Sinatra. I want it my way. I want it my way. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala way. Is that the end of this dilemma for that person? No. That person, you see him all the time. You can pick him up like you pick up a cotton or you pick up an apple from the tree. They comes very, very easy. They are arguing all the time. All the time. I have a question for you. How many angels stand in one square inch? Is that whatever that keep on in issues and keeps asking some kind of a question has nothing to do with any logical questioning. It's just a matter of diversion, setting doubts among the people. Questions is, even the answer, if you know the answer to it, is meaningless. Because there is a simple rule being followed by the Sahaba. Ask about what you're going to perform. I want to make wudu. Ask about how it will be done. And do it. I want to make salah. Ask about salah and how it is done. And do it. How gonna benefit me to know if there is in the Mars another creatures and how they pray? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحْ بَحَمْدِهِ وَيُقَدِّسْ لَهُ. Everything in that universe, they are making tasbih and glory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also he said, وَلَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحْ. And you are not going to understand what they say. Why I get involved in argument? So those people, they all the time generate argument. They generate a challenge. They waste the time. They try to make the people lose confidence in their leadership. Show them that they don't know what they are doing. Why? Because they have a heavy, heavy conscience. And they don't want to hear the truth so that conscience can wake up or can revive again. And walayazu billah, after that, or in that stage, after the stage, after that. So now, he is starting to attack. Look at the behavior of the people against all prophets and messengers. They didn't come to ask you for anything. They are only telling you the truth. Why people react so viciously and so mean to them, to the point that they get to the point of killing them? وَلَئِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَا يَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Why? They didn't take anything to you. They are telling you, be good to yourself. And you are saying, إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ. We are furious from you. Why? What did they do wrong? Nothing. But they are in that stage. You see, you don't understand what I am coming from. If you live with us, maybe you will do even worse than what we do. Another justification. Keep on going in the dilemma of justification. And after that, وَالْعَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, what's going to happen? The heart going to change. And this is the last stage. And when the last stage it happened, what happened in it? Forbiddings will turn out to be lawful. And lawful turn out to be forbiddings for that person. And that is the stage where the birth of the human being, shaitan. Once the person get to this point, he turned it to be a human shaitan. وَلَيَزُ بِاللَّهِ. He can hear the truth, but it will not hit him. He will not understand it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in this stage, كَلَّا. No. No. I did not create this nature. كَلَّا. No. بَرَّانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Rana ala qulubihim, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give an example that like the rust that comes and seal that heart. And when that heart is sealed by the rust, he cannot accept any signals anymore. The only signal that he knows is to do what? Worship his own interest. Worship his own. أَأَنْتَ تَهْدِي مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Do you think, Ya Muhammad, you will provide any guidance to the person listen only to himself and he worship himself, worship his own interest? No. No, you are not. There is no benefit here for that. Why? Because that person reached that level. For that person, وَلِعَزُ بِاللَّهِ, he only worship himself. Whatever is good for him, that's the lawful. Whatever bad, that is the wrong, and that is the forbidden. Maybe for those people, they can be doing, وَالْعَزُ بِاللَّهِ, this is the warning, severe warning messages all over the Quran for this. You can see those people, they turn it to ceremony, rituals, as a social status. You go to Hajj and you come back so you can be Al-Hajj Fulani and Fulani. And if you have a business or business card, the first thing it comes, Al-Hajj so and so and so. Do you know what is the Hajj? I hope inshallah it will come that day, or if you're going to join the classes here. Al-Hajj, that means you are in a state of inqiyad. Inqiyad is total submission. That means you are flowing, not responding. You are flowing with the command of Allah like the water flows. You hear, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, nothing in between. We hear, we obey, Ya Allah, what pleases you, I am gone, I'm done, I'm for it. It is not, I'm going to do it. That's what the Hajj is all about. Hajj, it comes from the word Hajj. And Hajj means what? Provide physical evidence. You said you believe in Allah, provide the physical evidence for it. And now the Hajj comes to be what? Social status. A banner, it comes to be putting right in the top of the business. The zakah, which is supposed to purify your heart, it comes to be what? Mr. Generous. Mr. Kind. Mr. the one who take care of poor. And you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that. That is the performance of this character. And using Allah and using the expression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshaAllah, alhamdulillah, bi'iznillah, and all of this expression by the name of Allah, all of this is what? Slang, language, a tool of communication. Not وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their heart trembling, the sincere believer, when you say the word of Allah, the heart tremble. This one,
They are the, do you know who is the biggest charity known to the mankind? The people that in annual years, in every single year, they provide charity work more than any other organization on the face of the planet Earth, at least known to the mankind. Do you know who? They are the gangster, the mob. You kill, extortion, name it, but at the same time you are generous. And maybe if some can go back to what happened when they tried in New York to arrest Gari. They had to get the National Guard because he was so generous and so kind to his neighborhood. They started to defend on him. And they started to block the police. And that's where they had to have the special forces to get him. But you see the category? يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا. Deceive themselves and deceive the believer, and they don't feel it. وما يشعرون. And they don't feel it. And the source of what's lawful and forbidden in this stage is not the Quran and Sunnah anymore. The source of lawful and forbidden is my interest. What's good for me? That is the lawful and that is the forbidden. وَلَيَعْزُ بِاللَّهِ Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want next khutbah, by Allah's permission, it will be how Allah and Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to combat, how to stand up and fight against the shaitan. The steps, 1, 2, 3, 4. Inshallah, we will go through them if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want. Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want next khutbah. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sin and all our mistakes. And give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And apply him in our life. So we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and inshallah the hereafter will be in peace and will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Inna alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله I want to close this khutbah by giving you a living example to in the relation to try to portray the nature of the relationship between the shaitan and between the human being. In any circus, they use the elephant. And the elephant is a magnificent creature. Very intelligent, very sensitive, and extremely strong. Very strong. How they control him? How 120 pound a person can make him jump up and down? And can make them do whatever they do. And nothing can hold them back when that person, when that elephant gets angry. Nothing. When that elephant is a baby, a little baby, they take him right away and they put a huge rust chains around the leg. So by his own nature, when that elephant wanna go forward, want to disobey the opponent, this chain will hold them back. Will hold them real back. And he will be tied to a very strong post. Because he's still a little baby. And the rust will make wound in the, will make a lot of pain. And wound the leg. Day in and day out, he will get the message. The elephant will get the message. The message is what? You better obey me. you better obey me. And once the elephant started to respond, what they happened? They started to replace the chain with only a rope. Because the minute he gets to the point where he feels while he's moving there is something holding the leg, what is going to happen? It will stop. That elephant keep growing and growing by the minute, growing by the second, and getting more and more and more and more stronger. But the minute he cannot go forward. Why he cannot go forward? Because that little rope that it was planned in his head, that it is related to the harm, the pain. In the relationship with, but if that elephant will get angry and will go beyond the point of where the rope is stopping him, nothing can stop him but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can stop him. Believe me, in our relationship with the shaitan, it is the same relationship between the elephant and between us. And you know what is the rope? Unfortunately, in the other one, the human being had the rope. But in our case, we are the one who providing the rope. We provide the rope through our al-hawa, and we provide the rope through our lust to the shaitan and say, tied me. The minimum you can do is to walk forward. And the minute you say walk forward, what's going to happen? You will cut all of these ropes. And you will find yourself go right back to the target. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. You will go right in to prepare yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To go right in to where you're supposed to be. And don't let the shaitan tie your leg by your own tool. Don't give him that. And don't allow him to do that. And if he already did, already control you by that, in any form of lust or desire or disobedience, alcohol, drugs, gambling, stealing, whatever that is, time to say, no, I'm walking out of here. And I know you cannot stop me. And I know you will not stop me. Do you know when? When your heart, that heart say, لبيك اللهم لبيك. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك. Once you start to say لبيك لا إله إلا الله, that's the time you break all the ties. And unfortunately, inshallah, when I come next week to talk about the tools of the, you will see that he is a lot more weaker than you can even dream. To knock him out, he doesn't even worse it. And you will see how you've been diverted. And all the time when you are about to do a sin, I hope that you will remind yourself and remember that elephant example. Don't let anything, whatever that is, between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The maghfirah, the forgiveness of Allah is there. It is available. Use it, don't abuse it. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering and to forgive all our sin and all our mistake, and help us to see the shaitan as the shaitan and as the enemy, and help us to conquer that shaitan, and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apply them in our life so we can live in peace and die in peace, and inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihun. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، اذكروا الله يذكركم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون، وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله.